Today's scripture lesson is taken from the book of Philippians. Please turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Reading verses 1 to 6. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops or elders and deacons of the church. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day even until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the salutation and the introduction to a most interesting and most joyous letter. And perhaps for a little change in approach, let us visit the writer of this letter. Who is he? Paul. You all know who he was. A blasphemer, enemy of the gospel, going all out to persecute and to kill Christians until Christ himself met with him. That story is well known. God had a plan for him, for Paul. And here he is fulfilling that plan after his conversion. Now, as I said, let's go and see him, if possible, in our mind's eye. Yes. Where is he? In the prison in Rome, awaiting the death sentence to be executed. And here he is writing a letter. What a wonderful letter. If you've read it through, which I urge you do sometime, it is a joyous letter, a very buoyant, encouraging letter, written by a man in a cell. That cell is not a very comfortable place, I can assure you. Surely there is no heating or air conditioning. And there he is. The average person will be most depressed and wondering when the death sentence is going to be executed, but not Paul. Listen to what he says. Verse 3, as he writes, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, whenever I think. Mind you, Rome is the capital in Italy. And Philippi is in Macedonia, the modern Greece. Not too far away, but that letter will take, I don't know, maybe weeks or months to arrive in the church of Philippi. But whenever Paul thinks of this church, it conjures up, brings up happy thoughts. Amazing. Because Philippi was not a good experience for him. However, depends on what you see in Philippi. If you are looking for pleasures and you did not get it, well then you have a very bad impression. Paul went there in a very special circumstance. And for that, I would like you to turn with me so that we can follow him on his travels, how he came to write this letter. And how there came to be a church in this place, for there never was a church. So for that, I invite you to turn to Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles describes here the second missionary journey of Paul. Paul was accompanied by a companion called Silas. So two of them were trekking overland. Those days, travel was not like today. Very difficult. On foot, by animals such as donkeys or asses. Now, from where they started, Antioch, they go west. And as they travel through that country, which is the modern Turkey, well, Turkey is lately in the news. You read about the Turks who are on the boats going to assist in bringing some relief to the Gaza Strip. That's where the action is, among the Turks. Now, here is Paul in Turkish territory, wondering where to go. When you go on missions, you're going to look for people who have not heard the gospel, and to tell them that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ. And where should he go? Verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. Please turn there. Now we will follow Paul as he travels with Silas in this rough, very mountainous, rocky country called Turkey. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word here. Now how this happened, we do not know, because it is not told us. But when you are in constant touch with God, doing his work, the Holy Spirit comes into the picture, whether by a prompting in the heart or by certain adverse circumstances. The Holy Spirit communicates in ways you do not know normally. So here the Holy Spirit indicated not north, and they thought maybe south. Not south. Verse 6 says, the Holy Ghost forbidden to preach in Asia. So they came to Mysia, and they thought to go south to Bithynia. Again, the Holy Spirit suffered them not, indicating in some way you are not to go north or south. This is amazing, but this is a spiritual thing that is spiritually discerned. When you are in the Spirit, God will indicate to you, as he did to Paul. Then God acted in a night vision. Verse 9. In a night vision, there appeared to Paul a man of Macedonia. How did he know it was a man of Macedonia? I suppose the kind of clothing he wore, maybe the language he spoke. Whatever it is, it was clear that this was a man from Macedonia across the straits in the land of Greece. And this man says, come. Amazing. This is a dream, maybe a vision, yes. And Paul saw clearly there was an invitation to go into the part of the world called Greece. Do you know the greatest empire of all time is the Roman? And that was part of the Roman Empire. And it was God's plan to use Paul, a Roman citizen, to carry the gospel into the Roman Empire. Amazing work of God. And so that clinched the issue. Where shall we go? Now it is very clear. The Holy Spirit says, not north, not south, just west. And so the man says, come over, we need you. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Now, the rest is history. They travel into Macedonia. Now, we see two men with the gospel of Jesus Christ enter into Europe. Yes. Physical, geographical Europe was there. And they entered into the city of Philippi. Philippi was the capital of that area of Macedonia. And where do you go when you go to a foreign place? Remember, it's not like today. There are transportation, hotels. No. You just go there, walk around, and get some information. 13, verse 13. On the Sabbath day, they heard there was a place of worship, maybe a synagogue of some kind, a place where people worshipped. And by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke to the women. There was a group of women. You know that when God sends messengers like the man of Macedonia, God has a plan for Paul. Let me explain to you and tell you something of the experience we had in 1985. No, how long ago was that? 25 years ago. One day as I finished preaching here and I walked down, there was a man there. He was not a man of Macedonia, but he was from Calvary Jurong. He spoke Cantonese. He didn't know English. And he says, "To Yisang, I'm going to emigrate to Australia." Now, I'm telling you this because there's a very close parallel. Because the nearest part of Europe that we have to us is Australia. It's a European country, except it's planted in the Far East, down south. That's why it's called Down Under. And this man said to me, "Will you come? Because I'm emigrating to Australia. Come and start a church in my house." I was amazed. The history of this man, he was very angry 4 years before that time when his wife got converted. Very angry that she should leave the household idols. But her testimony was effective. And he heard. And he watched. And he saw things were different. He was converted. Amazing that he should be converted simply by watching the wife's conduct. When he was converted, immediately things changed in his own life. He says, "I stopped going to cinema, I stopped playing mahjong, I stopped smoking, I stopped all my worldly friends. And now I'm going to Australia." I said, "How come you can't speak English? How come you can emigrate?" He says, "Oh, I worked in Christmas Island, which is an Australian protectorate. And because I worked there for 15 years, they said, you qualify to emigrate to Australia. Wonderful, we'll go. The land of milk and honey." So the rest is history. I went. We had our first service on Chinese New Year Day, 1986. Amazing. You know how many people came? 92. I couldn't believe it. But they all came, not because simply of the gospel, but because it was Chinese New Year. And they heard there was going to be a lot of cakes and things to eat. Anyhow, because of that, in the house, a church started. It is still there. And our young man, Brother Ling Kang, has been ministering there for 6 months already. There is a church in Perth called BPCWA, Bible Presbyterian Church of Western Australia. All because a man came here and asked me, will you come down? Now here is this man from Macedonia. And he appeared to Paul and said, can you come down to, come over to Macedonia? And he did. It is very significant when you read this portion of scripture. Please see, as I will read to you, verse 14. And a certain woman called Lydia. You know, God prepared a woman called Lydia. These things did not happen by chance. But the Holy Spirit was working in a way that is most amazing. So that when Paul went, there was this woman called Lydia and a group of other women, ladies, in a riverside meeting place, already meeting, as it were, waiting for the servant of God to come and to tell them about the gospel. They were groping, praying, but did not know what the gospel was all about. Verse 14, a certain woman called Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Verse 15 is the crunch verse here. When she was baptized and her household, she said, please, if you have judged me faithful and worthy, come into my house and make a church here. Amazing. First church in Europe ever. The first Christian church in the house of a woman called Lydia. What did she do? It says she was a trader in purple. Purple is the color of a fabric that she manufactured. That was very popular with the women. So she had a thriving business selling a certain kind of fabric. Obviously, a very thoughtful, industrious, and able woman. God opened her heart to the gospel. Do you know that when you obey God and go and do His work, His way, and serve Him, God will help you in ways you do not know. And I can tell you so many stories, but not today. In all the 25, 30 years of going around the world in 10 cities here and there, when I arrived in Perth, one old lady came to me, said, this is my granddaughter. You delivered her so many years ago. She will be the organist when you come to meet. Amazing things. God prepares people when you go and do His will. So here is the first impact of coming to the city of Philippi. Now things were not going well at all after that. You read the next few verses and then you will realize while God was working, Satan was working even harder. Verse 16, it came to pass a certain damsel, a young lady, possessed with the spirit of divination, one who could foretell fortunes and predict the future for people who came. And she was very useful to her masters in soothsaying. Soothsaying is to tell the fortune. Have you ever had your fortune told? Yes. These people pretend they know. And they make predictions that if they hit on the head, you say, wow, so clever. Here is such a woman. She was possessed of evil spirit. And when this went on, became an irritation to Paul, Paul exorcised or cast out the demon. And when she lost that demon, she could not tell the fortunes anymore. Verse 18. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And he came out the same hour, After that, the master saw that the hope of the gains was gone. This young lady who could foretell fortunes no longer could do it because of Paul. And then the rest, you know. Verse 23. The owners of this young lady complained to the magistrates, and the magistrates took action and caused that Paul and Silas were beaten up. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And they were put in stocks. You know what is stocks? You lie on the ground, and the two legs are clamped together, like today they clamp the wheels of motor cars. Have you ever seen that? It's a wheel clamp. This is leg clamp. And the two legs are clamped down, and you lie on the floor. What kind of terrible imprisonment this is? What do you do? Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang songs. Amazing. Dear friends, when you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there are things that will happen that you never knew, which will help. Here they prayed. Did Jesus hear them? Obviously. And they sang songs to express that even in the midst of tribulation, there was the joy of the gospel. We are here to tell how God can save and deliver those who are in the bondage of Satan simply by coming and believing and accepting Jesus saves, which they did. And then God came to their help with a great earthquake. You know earthquakes? Why do earthquakes happen? Did you ever ask yourself? The Bible tells us so many places. The Lord is here. When the Lord moves, His creation moves. Earthquake is just the shaking and the trembling of the earth. When the Maker and the Master is at hand, the earth quakes. Immediately, all their stocks, which clamped their legs, were open, and they were free. Now, this great earthquake brought to the jailer was woken up. What is happening? And he, in his hurry, thought that the prisoners were gone, and he drew out his sword. He was going to commit suicide. Then Paul says, "No, we are still here. Don't you do such a foolish thing." And so, what a wonderful confrontation of the gospel with this man. The result is, Verse 30 says, this jailer came before Paul and fell before him, that this is a very special prisoner, almost unusual. Otherwise, other prisoners would have escaped because their legs are free now. And he came before Paul and he fell down and worshipped him and said, "What must I do to be saved?" The result is that the Holy Spirit worked a mighty work, and the jailer believed on Jesus Christ that very night and was saved. Verse 33. Then he took them, Paul and Silas, and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his. Amazing. How big was the household? We do not know, but there was a substantial household. And they were all baptized and believed. Now, as the story unfolds, the next day, Paul was going to make his way onwards. But the church had formed already. Lydia and the household, the jailer and the household, and they began to meet. Verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Where did they go? Obviously, since Lydia had said to Paul the previous Lord's Day, come if you count me worthy. Come and start a church. Now coming back to Perth, we started the church in the home. But in no time, because of the increase in numbers, we went into a public hall. We hired a hall, and the next thing is we bought a church. Today it is a beautiful property. In the case of Philippi, verse 40 says, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. How wonderful. The first church in Europe out of a beating of the apostle by the masters of this fortune-telling girl. And out of that came a church. So that years later, we do not know how long, Paul could write a letter. Let's read again Paul's letter so that we understand Philippians chapter 1. Paul, one concern as he has expressed in this letter is, for to me to live is Christ. I am in prison because of Christ. I'm here because He has called me, and these are the circumstances I've met with. I'm in prison. But my chief concern is not for myself. Yes, there is no self-pity. There's no worry about the future for him. For he has written in this letter, in his other letters, absent from the body is present with the Lord. I will serve him, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So this letter, we'll read once again so that you get the spirit and the mood of this letter. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints, he addresses the Christians in the church of Philippi. That is his main concern. Not himself. Whether he lives or dies, he says, for to me to live is Christ. I will live to serve the Lord. Do we have that kind of persuasion, dear friends? Why do we live for? For ourselves? I say it is frustrating in the end if you only live for yourself. So, Paul writes this letter. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time he thinks of the church, it is a happy thought. Do you have such a thought? If you go away and think of Calvary Pandan, is there a happy thought that there is a group of God's people holding for the word of life? That others seeing, hearing may come and be saved. What is the meaning of all these things, dear friends? And the meaning is, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that those who believe, and how do they believe if they do not hear the gospel? And how will they know how to be saved if you do not tell? So this is what Paul is doing and what we all ought to do. My concern in this church, as the years go by, is who will continue to pull forth the word of life? Who will? There is Reverend Quake. Who others? Elders? Deacons? Does it ever occur to our young people here? The greatest industry, the greatest challenge today, or at any day, is that God's gospel continue. And who is to continue if the younger people do not come up? If we all live just for ourselves, you know why we go to Bible camp? I worked this out. When we had our first ever Bible camp in 1954, working out the logistics and the number of hours concerned in the camp, I said, it's worth 6 months of church attendance if you come to 1 week of Bible camp. So those of you who are coming, I say, this is what you may expect. But you must pray for it. So Paul's one concern, dear friends, is that Christ may be magnified in my life. In prison, how can he? By a letter. So that the gloom of his being beaten up, cast into prison, can be changed. We never can tell what God's plan is. In my recent bereavement, and I want to say a few words of testimony, in the great grief and agony, the big question that comes again and again is, Lord, we all prayed, why did Mom die? Her name in the home is called Mom. Why did you let her die? Why did you not heal her? But when you analyze the whole thing and you understand the deeper implications, God has a plan. Even through the beating up of Paul and Silas put into prison, God came with an earthquake and saved the Philippian jailer. God has his higher plan. So I ask myself, Lord, why did you not heal her and at least give her some more days with us? Answer is very clear. 2 days ago, the assistant surgeon rang me. The one who assisted the surgeon. And he says, Doctor, I want to tell you something. Her whole operation took 6 hours. Six. Everything went perfect. Everything was tip-top. Then something happened. Her heart began to fail. And that was the end of it. The heart began to fail. Spoke a message to me. She used to, when this whole episode began, she said, my father died at 64. My mother died at 65. About the same time, same age. I have lived to 83. Isn't it good? Why should I worry? If the Lord should take me, I have outlived my parents by 18, 19 years. Isn't that great? Then why doesn't God still allow her to live longer? As I look back, and as this assistant surgeon told me, he says, everything went well, but her heart failed. I said, that's it. God has a better plan for Mom. When this sickness was discovered, that she had an aortic incompetence. I've said this to our prayer group, but for all of you, this is first time. The aortic valve, the main valve of the heart, was leaking. Every time you pump blood out, about half goes backwards. And this is overwork of the heart. And this is not the only thing that threatens her life. The bigger worry is that the aorta itself, which is an artery that size, begins to blow up into a balloon. And this is called an aneurysm. About 2 months ago, she began to complain. I can't swallow. Because this ballooning has taken effect, I said to her, yes, sounds like it is coming. So because of this ballooning of the aorta, surgery became an option. You would either operate and heal and repair or wait for the balloon to burst. You know balloon? Yes. The end of a balloon is burst. At the same time, her knees failed. I'm telling you that each system by itself was failing. So that when God took her, it became obvious that God had a higher plan. That she has endured years of slow failing of systems. Those of you who have attended our prayer meeting will notice the last couple of months she could not attend prayer meeting already. The systems were failing. The left knee failed and had to have a steel implant to her knee. The right knee failed and she says no more. The heart failed. The ears failed. She became deaf and went to have hearing aids put on. Then her bladder failed, leaking of urine. The bowels failed. Every time she took something, something happened. Five systems, six systems, all failing one by one. Supposing she had recovered, you have a sick, invalid person who will be a burden to herself and a burden to everybody. God has a plan. Even through an earthquake to save a Philippine jailer. Through this to waken up the family. I said, God has to use death to waken up members of the family. For not all are serving the Lord in my family. And this is a constant concern. I say, what will happen after this? God knows. So, when I had this report made to me, I said, that's right. God knows best. She has outlived her parents by 18 to 19 years. All the blessings have come to me and to the family. Now is time for her to rest, isn't it? God knows best. So, verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I think of you, I thank God. I say every time I think now of this event that happened in the house, I thank God. Thank God that through this, I pray the family will be revived. To know that now we have a loved one waiting for us. That may revive the whole family to serve Him better. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. May this thought always come to us to know that we have a wonderful God. A God who was with Paul, who saved him, who used him, who sent him out, who even with a vision of a Macedonian man to call him to Europe, who used Paul to found so many churches that he can write, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. God does everything well. Jesus does everything perfect. Only trust Him. Only walk with Him. And serve Him. So, today is exactly a month since God took Mom home. I say, looking back, I can say verse 3 applies. I thank my God upon every remembrance of this event, that God can work through such an event to waken up some who are not serving the Lord, not walking with God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may Thou speak to our hearts today, even through the story of the Philippian jailer and the earthquake at midnight. O Lord, that we may know we have a God of impossible things. We have a wonderful God that at every remembrance of his works and acts, we are encouraged to know that our God is in full and absolute control of every event in our lives, in the lives of those who love him. Father in heaven, hear our prayer, and may we be encouraged to serve thee and to follow thee with fervent heart and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.